You face the opportunity of a lifetime. Something's coming your way that gives you the opportunity to experience the very best of life. And yet, you find yourself being defeated, overwhelmed with emotion, set back by circumstances, convinced you cannot win. And as a result, you find yourself being overwhelmed in defeat. And then all of a sudden, the Lord shows up and he ambushes you with obedience. And today, that's where we find ourselves. Because today we find ourselves in the most amazing story. It's the story of what happens when God's people, followed by Joshua, him leading the charge, all of a sudden they look at life from a different perspective. All of a sudden they seize their moment in a different way. And as a result, they end up experiencing a powerful victory. And it may very well be that you're here today. And in your life, you have found yourself defeated at times. And maybe you've wondered, what led to that? How did I miss the mark? How did I get so overwhelmed? And the reality is, oftentimes, the eventual defeats that we experience can be traced back to the pathway of disobedience, where we came to a fork in the road and we went the wrong way. We made the wrong choice. It happened with Joshua, didn't it? In chapter 7, what happens to him? He listens to the people before he listens to God, and they end up being defeated. People lose their lives. They find themselves overwhelmed with the reality that they no longer are undefeated. They have been beaten. And as a result, they have to reposition their hearts, and they've got to learn again the lesson that's so essential. And you see, for each one of us, oftentimes we need the lesson to be echoed over and over again in order to get it. We don't always get it as quick and as fast as we sometimes would like to. And yet the reality is today we look at this story, and it's an amazing story, because what you discover is that this is a story of what happens and how you handle your defeat the right way. And I want to ask you a couple questions today as we think about this passage. First of all, how do you handle your defeats? What do you do? Do you shrink back in and you go into mourning, and do you get overwhelmed? And I mean, that's what Joshua did, didn't he? Joshua, what does he do? Tears his clothes, throws dirt on his head, and says, you know what? It's all over. We'll never get anywhere again. And obviously, that's when the Lord says, stand up. Stand up and let me show you what I can do in your life. Rise up and see what happens. But oftentimes, in our experiences, in our defeats, when we get beat up in life, we miss the real message that God has for our hearts and lives. And that is, beyond our momentary affliction, beyond our moment in which we are defeated, God has something for us. I want to ask you a question, because today we're going to see this unfold in Joshua's life. What lessons did you learn moving beyond your fear and moving to experiencing victory in life? What lessons? How did you respond in the face of it? What lessons did you learn as a result of it? Because if you think about it for a second, when we look at this passage, there are certain lessons that we hold on to as we move towards victory. In other words, if we find ourselves beat up in life, all of a sudden we stop and say, oh, wait a minute now. I don't want to be there anymore. I don't want to miss that moment anymore. I want to experience what God has for me. And what you see here, this is an amazing chapter in the Bible, because it shows you something. Out of utter defeat, depression, overwhelming feelings, out of things that have absolutely subdued Joshua's spirit, out of that comes victory. And it comes in a particular way in which God gives instruction about what we're supposed to do. And what you're going to see today is that when we yield to his instructions, we get to experience the best of life. I've been pastoring a long time, and in that span of those years, one of the things I've discovered is oftentimes people will come to the point where they have instruction that is very clear, but instead of following it, they follow the path of least resistance. What's going to help me get where I want to go without as much tension and about as much challenge? And let me tell you, for Joshua, it's amazing what God does, because he has to face his AI. He has to face his defeat. And listen carefully. As we think about this today in light of this passage, we have to face our defeats, and we have to look at those. You may be sitting here saying, well, I'm more than a conqueror. Well, what happened when you got conquered then? What happened when you faced a situation that overwhelmed you, that took the best out of you? And what you're going to discover, if Joshua can fail, we all can fail. Because Joshua, listen, he had pretty strong promises to bank on. I mean, what did the Bible say? The Bible says in chapter 1, wherever your foot treads, that's yours. It's yours. Be strong and courageous, he said. He said, consecrate yourself, for tomorrow I'll do wonders among you. It's amazing how often God said, get ready to today for what I'm going to do tomorrow. And that's exactly what happens here as we see the people having to look at their lives and go, you know what? I don't want to live like this anymore. And it's amazing how chapter 8 begins, because in chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, now the Lord appeared. In fact, when you look at it, notice how it says it. Now the Lord said to Joshua. In other words, he had all of a sudden began to hear something that was going to lead him in the right place. And what you and I need to understand is as we wait on God, we'll hear him speak. We'll hear his direction. We'll hear what it is he has for us, what he wants to do in our lives. And my challenge for you to think about your own journey today, think about how you have lived through your last challenge, how you've lived through your last experience. And maybe you're sitting here saying, you know what? I got beat up bad there. I got overwhelmed by something. I got challenged by something that got the best of me. And then all of a sudden you hear the story today and you realize that there is more to the story, that your life won't end at that crossroads of defeat, but instead God will move you forward to become the man or woman he wants you to be. You may be overwhelmed with your finances. You may be overwhelmed with your emotions. You may be overwhelmed with your relationships. You may be overwhelmed and challenged by what's going on in your job, and it seems to be defeating you. But all of a sudden you come to church today and you realize there is a way to live it in such a way that you experience what obedience can do, and obedience will lead you to victory. Let's look at this passage and kind of see how it unfolds, because in verse 1, we see what he says to Joshua that's absolutely critical. He says, follow God fearlessly. It's the first step in a journey of being ambushed by obedience. It's follow God fearlessly. In other words, don't allow fear to be a part of who you are. Now, why was that critical? Because remember what happened in chapter 7. In fact, look back, if you would, and notice what happened in chapter 7. Notice what he says in verse 9, the very last of that verse. He says, and what will you do for your great name? And it's, what happens here is Joshua, fear has taken hold of what he's going through. And as a result, he ends up fearful, overwhelmed with emotion, allowing his emotions to guide him instead of his faith. And as a result, he experiences what the Lord says to him. In that next verse, you rise up and you get back where you're supposed to be. So by the time we get to chapter 8, the Lord comes and speaks to him. And notice how verse 1 unfolds. Do not fear or be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you. Arise and go up to Ai. See, I've given into your hand the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his hand. Now you realize at this point, there's no debate going on. There's no discussion going on with God saying, are you sure you want us to go back to Ai? We've already buried a bunch of people. We've already been overwhelmed and defeated. They have utterly caused us to run. But you don't see that at all. Because here you see God saying two very distinctive things to Joshua. When it comes to following God fearlessly, look at him. The first thing he's saying is, do not fear or be dismayed. What does he say here? Stand in faith, not fear. Stand in the faith that God's given you. Don't allow fear to get in your way. Stand in that faith. And what he's saying is, and it's the same thing that you see the parallel in chapter 7, when he says, rise up. And what he's trying to say to you and me is that if we stand in our faith, no matter what it is that we face, we'll be able to conquer the fear that comes at us. But you'll notice another thing, very interesting, because he tells him, take everybody with you. Notice what he says here. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I've given it into your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. And when he says here, arise, he means stand up. And as they stand up, what he says is, he says something very interesting. He says, bring the entire family with you. In other words, don't overlook anybody. Let them all come. Bring the entire family. And what he would say to you and me today is that it takes the entire family to accomplish everything that God intends to do in our life. He says, bring them all. Bring them all together and watch what happens. He says, bring everybody, because the last time you only sent 3,000, and look what happened. They ran you right out of there. They defeated you. And so here we see these instructions setting in motion a pathway of obedience. And what you discover is when God starts working in our life, he'll tell us, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Stand in your faith. And as you stand in your faith, bring everybody with you. Because the reality is, if you'll think about it for a moment, this church as a whole is only as strong as its weakest member. In other words, if our members are not committed and connected and understanding what God wants to do in their life, then what happens? We dilute the capacity to impact the way God intended. And so for each one of you today, I want you to think about something. Where are you at that only God knows? Is your faith strong, or is fear taken away? Are you defeated, or are you standing in victory? And what happens here is the Lord says, you follow me fearlessly. I'm going to tell you what happens to a fearless leader. It's somebody who will look at whatever it is coming their way and realize, through Christ, I can do all things. God can carry me through this. And so if you're here, and watch this, you're on the edge of being defeated, let me tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to push you back away from that edge and reminds you that you're not going to fall off that edge. Instead, you're going to be able to follow him because he is going to set an ambush. He's going to show you what he does. And that's the second thing we see here. Because in verse 2, God gives instructions. And it's interesting because these instructions are direct opposite of what happened in chapter 7. Here he says, just set an ambush. Let's look at it beginning in verse 2. He says, you shall do to Ai and its king just as you did to Jericho and its king. You shall take only its spoil and its cattle as plunder for yourself. Set an ambush for the city behind it. So Joshua rose with all the people of war to go up to Ai. And Joshua chose 30,000 men, valiant warriors, and sent them out. By the way, if you'll just stop for a second and remember something. In chapter 7, he listened to those around him and he sent only 3,000. When he listened to God, he sent 30,000. Quite a contrast, isn't it? Quite a contrast when you look at it. And it shows you something. If you listen to yourself or somebody else, you may miss the best. But if you listen to God, he's going to carry you out there with strength and lead you to victory. Look on, though. Notice what else he said. He commanded in verse 4, saying, see, you are going to ambush the city from behind it. Do not go very far from the city, but all of you be ready. All of you be ready. Then I and all the people who are with me will approach the city. And when they come out to meet us as at the first, we will flee before them. They will come out after us until we have drawn them away from the city, for they will say, they are fleeing before us as at the first. So we will flee before them. And you shall rise from your ambush and take possession of the city, for the Lord your God will deliver it into your hand. Then it will be, when you have seized the city, that you shall set the city on fire. You shall do it according to the word of the Lord. See, I have commanded you. So Joshua sent them away, and they went to the place of ambush and remained between Bethel and Ai on the west side of Ai. But Joshua spent the night among the people. When you read this, you see some very, very vital lessons. Because here's the story that doesn't make any sense, because what he says is, I want you to look like a coward, but you are going to absolutely experience victory. Now, I want you to do it just like you did before. The only difference is, I'm with you. I'm on your side. And what you see here, as you get to this passage, you realize something very powerful. You realize that what you and I must do in order to get where God wants us to go is we have to wait on God for instructions. You see what happened with Joshua? He waited until God said to him, this is what I want you to do. And what happens oftentimes, we run ahead of our instruction giver. We sometimes say, we're going to go our way. We can do it in relationships. We can run ahead of what his instruction is and say, I'm going to do it because this is what is missing in me. And listen carefully. If you try to find what is missing in you, in somebody, and you don't let God be the one who meets the ultimate desires of your heart, then you're going to find yourself empty at some juncture. Because listen carefully, nobody can give you what God can give you. Joshua understood that. Joshua understood it, and that's why he waited. How hard is it for you to wait? Is it difficult? Is it challenging? Waiting on God is never easy, but it's always wise. Look on, though. But not only does he cause him to wait, but you'll notice in verse 3, he tells 30,000 of them, I want you to go hide in this particular place. I want you to go hide, and as you're hiding there, we're going to go out and we're going to do this. And between the two of us, when you set that city on fire, we're going to be able to look back and be able to see what happened. And what you see something is very absolutely essential for you and me when it comes to being ambushed by obedience. And that is, position is critical. You've got to be in the right place at the right time to experience what God has for your life. And when you get positioned properly, that position empowers you to experience life the way God intended. Listen carefully. You want to have a great life? Get in the right place. You get in the right place and watch what happens. 30,000 of them, they all get set aside. Say, you go hang out in there and you wait until we go out here and we're going to do what we're supposed to do. And as a result, we're going to experience victory. You see, it's never easy to wait. It's also seldom easy to get in the right place. Because what do we want to do? We want to be in a comfortable place. We want to be where it all fits in a comfortable spot. Who wants to have a challenge? Who wants to be overwhelmed? Who wants to face something that they never dreamed they would? Who wants to get that difficult diagnosis? Who wants to get that painful circumstance? Who wants to get anything that's anything other than easy? And I'm going to tell you what you're going to discover. The only way the people of God could learn how to do what God intended for their lives, to set that ambush, was to follow those instructions. And I'm going to tell you, as every man, every woman in the room, if you position yourself in the right place on the pathway of obedience, you're going to experience something powerful. But if you go at life based in the pathway of least resistance, where is it going to be easiest for me? You're going to miss the best of life. Look on, though. There's another thing you see here, and that is, look at verse 9, because something in the very last of this verse you can't miss. But Joshua spent the night among the people. And what you see here is leaders lead. In other words, they know where they're supposed to go. They know what it is they're supposed to do. And Joshua, what he does, he goes, and basically here's what happened. They all camp out. And I don't know if you're like me, but camping out was pretty good when my kids were little. But as I got older, I moved up to the Holiday Inn and to that new campground that has a very comfortable bed and everything. But I can remember those moments when my kids would say, hey, let's go camping. And we'd go camp and in hot springs, other places like that. And vivid memories connect to that. Laying on those rocks always says something to you. I mean, all those other things that remind you of those kind of experiences. And not sleeping well. But here's what happens. Can you imagine how well they slept, but how alert they were in their spirit that God was about to do something amazing? I'm going to tell you what you see here. If God tells you to go camping in order to experience his best, go lay on the rocks. Go listen to his voice and be experiencing what he has for your life. So they get positioned properly. Joshua hangs out with them. And then the third thing happened. They have to execute the plan. They got to execute the plan. Look at it if you would, because here they start moving towards doing what God's calling you. Look at verse 10. Now Joshua rose early in the morning, mustered the people, and he went up with the elders of Israel before the people to Ai. Now I want you to look at that verse again, because it says here that he mustered all the people together. And here's what he did. He said, he looked across at everybody there and said, okay, guys, guess what? Sleeping is over. It's time to step up and go and do what it is we're supposed to do. And listen carefully. When you look at this passage, what you see him doing is he is making his stand. He is standing for what is right. And listen, for you and me, in order to experience the life God has for you, you got to make your stand. We live in a day where values are waffled all over the place. People want to be on every side of every issue so that no one's uncomfortable. And I'm going to tell you what Joshua did. Joshua drew a straight line. He drew a straight line. He said, this is the way it's going to be. This is the issue that we need to understand. And we need to make sure that we're wise enough to draw that line carefully. He makes his stand. And listen carefully. Why did Job say, though they slay me, yet will I trust him? He drew a line. He drew a line and said, you know what? I may get wiped out, but here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep on trusting him. And I'm going to say to you today, as you think about your own journey, you got to keep trusting him. You got to draw your line. He makes this stand. He musters them all together. He calls them all out by name. Say, hey, I want every tribe, every group, come on in here. I got something to say to you. We're getting ready to win. And I'll tell you this. You didn't hear doubt in his voice. You heard confidence. Because he had been instructed by God, something great is going to happen. Look on, though. Not only did he make his stand, but I want to show you what happens to the king Ai. Look at verse 14. Watch what happened. It came about when the king of Ai saw it, that the men of the city hurried and rose up early and went out to meet Israel in battle. He and all his people at the appointed place before the desert plain, but he did not know that there was an ambush against him behind the city. And what do you see here? You see a person who is overconfident, who doesn't believe he can get whacked, that he can make it no matter what. Because what has he done? He's just beat them bad. He's just defeated them. He's just wiped them out. And as a result, what you and I learn out of this is we got to watch overconfidence. We got to make sure that we never go at things with an overconfident way. We instead have a strong, vibrant, dynamic faith that guides us through things. What's overconfidence have the possibility to do? It has the possibility of leading us to disobedience because we think we've got it all figured out. And listen carefully. It's like the young couple who gets married. They've been married a couple years, and you ask the husband one day, well, let me ask you a question now. You got your wife under control? Say, absolutely. I know everything about her. I understand everything about her. Well, what did he just say? He just said, I'm getting ready to get wiped out. I'm going to get wiped out. In fact, just a few weeks ago, someone sent me a note. And quite interesting because it's entitled, Everything I Learned About Life, I Learned from Noah. And listen to what he said. He had rules. There were 11 of them that he followed from Noah's ark. First of all, don't miss the boat. I mean, think about it for a second. You miss that boat, you miss the boat of obedience, you're in trouble. Then he said, remember that we're all in the same boat. We all face battles together. We got to fight together. Then he said, plan ahead. It wasn't raining when Noah built the ark. In other words, think about where you're going with your life. Think about what you need to do. Then he said, stay fit. When you're 600 years old, someone may ask you to do something really big, which tells you something in life. Doesn't matter what age you are. God may have something big and very challenging for you to do. Number six, he says, build your future on high ground. In other words, build it on a place where your boat can land at the right spot. Number seven, he says, for safety's sake, travel in pairs. Interesting? Take two of everything. Let me ask you, aren't you glad you have a friend sometime who goes with you, who encourages you? Number eight, speed isn't always an advantage. The snails were on board with the cheetahs. Everybody got on at the right pace. Number nine, when you're stressed, float for a while. Isn't that interesting? When you get stressed out, just start floating. Number 10, remember the ark was built by amateurs, the Titanic by professionals. And finally, he says, no matter the storm, when you're with God, there's always a rainbow waiting. Isn't that interesting to think about? Now, see, here's what we learned from that. You can go at your way and go at it God's way. Just don't be overconfident. And can you imagine all the people who watched Noah build that boat? I guarantee they walked by him saying, you have got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. It'd be like Noah being in Texas where they had the drought. Right in the middle of all those fires, I'm building a boat. God told me to. And let me tell you, what you better learn is God may tell you what seems absolutely abstract and disconnected from anybody else. But if he says to you, build an altar, change your life, look at your heart, follow it, watch what happens. So what does he do? He acts very carefully to make sure they're not overconfident. But then I want you to see verse 18, because here he says, extend your faith. Extend your faith. And watch what he says here. Verse 18, then the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the javelin that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. So Joshua stretched out the javelin that was in his hand forward to the city. Now, does this remind you of anybody like Moses? Hold up that staff. Hold it up. And here's what you see. All of a sudden, God comes to you. Remember, in verse 1, he says, don't be afraid. In verse 18, he says, hold that javelin forward. Extend your faith. He said, hold it up. Hold it up. Look on over, if you would, at another verse. Look at verse 26. And notice what it says. For Joshua did not withdraw his hand with which he stretched out the javelin until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Now, here's what you see. Here's the picture. All of a sudden, God says to him, that javelin you're holding is not just to defend yourself. It is to extend. It is to extend the message that people need to hear, and that is they will win. Today is the sixth anniversary of the birthday of One Heart. 6 years ago, on this Sunday, One Heart was birthed. And I can remember it like it was yesterday, because in the ensuing weeks leading up to it, I can remember how God shaped together that extension of victory. I can remember two men seeking me out as I was transitioning out of First Baptist Atlanta into a new world and a new vision and a new hope and a new meaning for life. And I can remember these two men coming to me, both affluent businessmen, both who had it all going. And here's what they said. Both of them said, we have churches that you ought to go pastor. They're in our city. They're mega churches. They'll be blessed. You'll have a great time. You'll have a great experience. But you know what? God was not saying to me, extend your javelin to some other place. He was saying, start with nothing and watch what I can do. And I can recall so vividly thinking that God was saying to me on that particular day when those people approached me, two men of which have never walked in this room one time since One Heart started. Both of them said, your whole life has been in big churches. Will you be able to transition away from that into something that starts with nothing? And I can remember the Lord saying, better to start with nothing than to inherit a bunch of headaches that's already existing. And I can remember saying, you know what, I'm not going to that church. And I'm not going to that church. And in fact, both of them said, well, give us your resume at least. I said, there's no resume here, bro. The credential for me is obedience. And listen carefully. You can have a person with 15 degrees and a pedigree that leads on to 5 pages. But if their heart is not fixed on obedience, if they don't take the stand and hold the javelin and extend it forward, then they miss the best of life. And I'm going to tell you, when I look back at those days, in this room are several people that met at the Ravinia Club when we started. I had no idea what God could do. I did know that man would make promises and break it, but God never would. And I can honestly say to you that God has been faithful every single day. When people said we couldn't do missions, God said, you go to the world. You go to Argentina. You go to Tanzania. You go to Romania. You go to Ukraine. You go to Serbia. You go wherever God tells you to go. And listen carefully. You either listen to the voice of men or the voice of God. And what does God say through Joshua? Extend that javelin. Extend your faith. Well, obviously, they rout them. In fact, they experience victory. In fact, when you look at this, they experience it so powerfully that they wipe out everyone. In fact, the Bible says, it's interesting, that 12,000 people died. Verse 25, all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000. All the people of Ai. They all went out. They all went out. They lost it because Joshua was obedient. And it's amazing what he does here, because he does something that absolutely sets in motion where we're going as we bring this message by way of focus to the climactic point. After they've experienced victory, they build an altar. And in fact, look at it if you would, because it's amazing what happens here. They build an altar in verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, in Mount Ebal, just as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded the sons of Israel. As is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones, on which no man had wielded an iron tool, and they offered burnt offerings on it to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. This morning, in our first service, there was a young lady here who, when we opened up the altar, came and knelt. After the service, she sought out one of our members, and she walked up to me and said to me, "I didn't sleep last night because God was telling me to come here." And as she shared that story, I got goosebumps all over me. Because you know what I realized? When this altar is open, God can do amazing things. When we open our hearts up to Him. And today, as we come to this juncture in this story, we come to a very climactic moment. Now, I've asked Pastor Ron if he would to come and open the altar up. And as he opens it up, I want to challenge you to think about where you are. It may very well be you need to kneel. You need to ask the Lord to come close to you. You need Him to guide you in your journey of faith. You need to allow Him to speak to your heart. I wonder if there's someone here who, if they just knelt, could hear the Lord say, "This is the way, walk in it." And as He leads us in His altar call, I want to encourage those of you who are here who just need to kneel, just to come and kneel and say, "Lord, I give my heart to You."